Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, July 15th, 2025. We're already halfway through the summer, or more. Today, I'll start out with reading of today's top stories. The first headline reads, Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. Spate of fatal accidents sparks search for ideas. This article is written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Champaign. Luke can be reached by email at LTAYLOR@newsgazette.com. In response to what has been called the worst first 6 months of the year for traffic fatalities in over two decades, the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission is looking to the community for input. 13 people were killed in traffic crashes in Champaign County in the first 6 months of 2025, according to information the Regional Planning Commission gathered from area news reports. And two more crash-related deaths occurred just after the six-month mark, so about 15 now. RPC planning manager Susan Ebert said that typically the organization uses the Illinois Department of Transportation's traffic data, but that won't become available until several months into the following year. Having observed a high number of deaths this year, RPC employees decided to gather what information they could in order to start looking for solutions more quickly. We're hoping to gather people's perceptions of what they see out in the community in terms of how do they feel safest when they're traveling and where are some problematic areas that they might find anywhere in Champaign County, Ebert said. We're just asking for that unique perspective from residents to help us identify places, and also ways that we might be able to improve the transportation system in terms of safety specifically. At least with the information currently available, Ebert said that it hasn't been possible to identify a pattern or cause for the spike in fatalities, as incidents are attributed to a variety of causes and have occurred across the county. The RPC is asking that county residents, including University of Illinois students, complete a survey on perceived traveling safety in the area and what they believe might be contributing to unsafe conditions. Contributors on the survey include driver behavior, poor street lighting, and lack of traffic enforcement, to name a few. Residents are also asked to add comments to an interactive map identifying specific locations they perceive as unsafe or where they see frequent traffic code violations. We're going to process all that data and should be able to come up with some highlights that stand out, I would think, in terms of locations, as well as the perspectives, and go from there and make recommendations towards safety strategies, Ebert said. It could be short-term things that our area governments might be able to take on quickly, or some things that might be quite a ways down the line. Sheriff Dustin Heuermann, H-E-U-E-R-M-A-N, said that so far this year, his office has handled three fatal accidents in which a total of five people died, while last year they handled a total of six fatalities due to crashes. He doesn't predict this to be an abnormal year for accidents for his office specifically. Heuermann said that one common factor among fatal crashes is the same one law enforcement has been repeating for years. The majority of people who have been killed in a crash that the sheriff's office has investigated, at least in the last year or two that I can recall, were not wearing a seatbelt, and they were ejected from the vehicle, Heuermann said. The majority of accidents his office handles are not fatal and usually involve running a red light or a stop sign, Heuermann said. They're also mostly in Savoy since it's the most populated area in the sheriff's jurisdiction. As for the tragedies in 2025, there's really no consistency among them. They all had different causes, and they were all at different locations, Huerman said. He raised some concerns about the efficacy of the RPC survey, since public feedback doesn't necessarily give law enforcement much to work with, but said he didn't want to downplay the concept. Huerman said traffic details already focus on areas with high accident rates, and that it would be impossible to place officers at every intersection where people commonly don't obey signs or signals. It'll be up to the RPC to determine any lessons or recommendations to take away from the survey after it closes in around 6 weeks. Both the survey and the interactive map are available on the RPC's website. There's no photograph that accompanies this article. At newsgazette.com, what say you? You can submit a letter to the editor online. There's a quick headline photograph. It's a photo of people in a house on a sofa, and they're kind of smiling and laughing, and one person looks kind of shocked. The caption reads, "Magic moment. Surrounded by family and friends at his mother's house, Jake Monroe, M-U-N-R-O-E, reacts as his name is called during Monday's MLB draft. The former Champaign Central star was selected in the fourth round by the Los Angeles Angels." Yep. And you can watch Monroe and Co. celebrate this moment. That photo is provided. Congratulations to Jake Monroe. The next headline reads, Thomas Paine Elementary School. Alumna ready to pour back into the community. Kirby taking over as principal July 23rd. This article is written by Joey Wright and is based out of Urbana. You can reach Joe at jwright at newsgazette.com. Megan Kirby's passion for education took root in the same building she's set to lead. That's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, Kirby, K-I-R-B-Y. Kirby was once a student at Urbana's Thomas Paine, that's Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, and Paine, P-A-I-N-E, Thomas Paine Elementary, where she and twin sister Mandy Kirby would occasionally see their mother, Tammy, while she worked as a full-time substitute teacher. Megan will officially take over as Thomas Paine's principal on July 23rd. My feeling is just very excited to be back in the town I grew up in, to pour back into the community, Megan Kirby said. It's Kirby's first time leading a building of her own. She was most recently an assistant principal at Jefferson Middle School in Champaign. She's up for the challenge. I just want to create a culture and a climate that I've had these last few years in administration, Kirby said. For teachers to want to come to work, and for students to have the same experience I've had at school. Leaving Unit 4, where she's worked since 2013 at four different schools, the last 2 years as an associate principal at Jefferson, wasn't an easy decision. It came down to a few special circumstances surrounding the opening at Thomas Paine, where she last walked the halls as a student in 2001. It was hard because I loved my job, Kirby said. My principal, Kyle Freeman, is one of my good friends, so that was a very hard decision to make, but just really challenging myself to get uncomfortable and to grow. This was a unique opportunity where I was able to come back to the school I went to. There's so many people in Urbana right now that say such great things with the current administration, and so I just knew I'd be very well supported. And I've already felt that since day one. Special education has been a point of emphasis for Kirby throughout her career. That came from her mother, who often subbed for Thomas Paine's gym classes. She kind of pushed me and my twin sister to get into special ed, Kirby said. We would always help students in classes who had special needs. Sometimes we would not finish our work because we'd be so involved helping them. Sports were a big part of Kirby's upbringing. The 2008 Urbana High grad played volleyball at Illinois Central College in Peoria. Golfing and spending time outdoors are among her hobbies today. I was a three-sport athlete throughout high school, Kirby said. My sister played basketball at ICC as well. My uncles and my dad were all in the Hall of Fame, and my grandpa. So it goes back towards that. Kirby will recognize some familiar faces along the way, from longtime teachers to new generations of families she went to school with. It's cool to live in Urbana and now be able to be a leader in Urbana, Kirby said, and connect with the families that I went to school with. Some of them have kids here and have already contacted me, so it's a full circle moment. Kirby cites every teacher she had at Thomas Paine with making a positive impact on her school experience, providing that that same spark is something she's looking forward to. I can name all of my elementary school teachers because they were so meaningful and impactful for me and my education, Kirby said. I was talking to my friend the other night, and those teachers stayed the entire time we were in elementary school. They were so committed to us. So I just want students to have that same feeling too. And there's one photo that accompanies this article, and it's of a young woman, maybe late 20s, maybe early 30s, and she's standing in front of a wall that has different like cards on it with pictures and photos, and it's taken by the News Gazette. Megan Kirby, who attended Thomas Paine Elementary School in Urbana as a child, returns to the school later this month as its new principal. So good luck to her in that new position. Next up, front and center of the News Gazette, there's a photograph of a woman standing in county fair, the middle of a county fairgrounds. She is a beauty pageant queen, I guess. She has a crown on, and she's playing the violin, and she has a sash around her dress. The caption reads, Champaign County Fair, bow to the queen. Sophia Hartke. So that's Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, last name Hartke, H-A-R-T-K-E. 18, 8, super excited to begin her reign. So I think she's 18. I think that's a misprint. This article is written by Dave Hinton. And Dave can be reached at D-H-I-N-T-O-N at newsgazette.com. It's the summer before Sophia Hartke starts her freshman year at SIU, Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. Her goal, to enter medical school and become a surgeon. In the meantime, she's enjoying the summer during the last few weeks before her studies begin in earnest. On Sunday, Hartke was crowned Miss Champaign County Fair Queen. Hartke said she was as surprised as anyone. I wasn't expecting to win. I put a lot of effort getting ready for the pageant and preparing myself. I was definitely surprised. Now I can't wait for fair weekend to start. Besides wearing the crown, the 18-year-old Hartke of Sydney shares a few other similarities with last year's queen, Olivia Shike of rural Sudores. Both are Unity High graduates. Both were 10-year members of the Sudores 4-H All-Stars Club, and both officer holders there, each serving as junior leaders their final year and each serving as club secretary. Shike served 1 year as vice president, and Hartke was president another year. Club leader Lori Gregg said Hartke is always willing to jump in and help. Especially in the last year, she's been a vital junior leader who brought a lot of ideas to the table and initiated a lot of our efforts, Gregg said. The fair queen must put in a lot of appearances at the fair, and Hartke can't wait. The fair will run July 18th through the 26th. She's especially looking forward to watching the bull riding at the rodeo, the demolition derby, which has been a favorite since I was a kid, the monster truck show, and a motocross event. I'm thinking those are going to be pretty awesome, she said. Also on the must-see list, the Travis Tritt Tyler Braden concert. The newly crowned fair queen. Just one moment. Here we go. The newly crowned fair queen can relate to country music. She loves to play fiddle and learned at the knee of her grandfather, Wayne Acton. He and I both go to the North American Country Music Association International Competition in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, Hartke said. We both compete down there once a year. Hartke has had a goal to be a surgeon since she was 5 years old. She's always been interested in healthcare and gymnastics. The healthcare, most notably sports medicine and orthopedic surgery, interest has evolved as a result of various injuries she has experienced as a result of her gymnastics. In April, she was certified as a volunteer emergency medical responder with the Sydney Homer Fire Protection District. She said she's not super experienced yet, but has learned a great deal. When Hartke turned 16, she found a retired fire chief's SUV for sale at an auction site. I said, I want to drive this. It still had the sirens and lights on it. It's a great rig. I put a nice sound system in there. Hartke loves baking and bakes a batch of cookies about once a week. Her favorite, chocolate chip, which was a hit with the firefighters in the department. I was the only granddaughter to get my grandma's, Deanna Acton's chocolate chip cookie recipe. Hartke, a daughter of Ted and Jessica Hartke, is close to her grandparents. While Hartke never expected to be wearing the Queen's crown, she intends to enjoy the experience. I'm super excited for this opportunity to represent Champaign County at the fair. And again, there was that nice photo of her playing the violin or fiddle. And just outside at the fair as they set up. They're obviously closed. There's no people there yet. There will be a lot of people there soon. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Volunteers at the Bondville Fire Department and thirsty passerbys were mighty thankful that the cousins from the DeLong family continued their fabulous 4th of July tradition. Their lemonade stand raised $577 that Chief Adam Shaw said could go toward purchasing a new multi-gas detector. We are very grateful for the donations to the department, he said. The cousins, Taylor Brin, Isaiah Brin, and Jason Brin from New York, and Colton Day and Nolan Day from Mahomet, visit their grandparents in Bonneville each 4th of July. You can visit newsgazette.com for our story from a year ago. Their lemonade stand in front of the station isn't a fly-by-night operation either. The creative kids make signs and hand out candy to complement the cold drinks. Firefighters didn't get much time with the kids. Several calls and a role in Seymour's 4th of July parade eating up most of their time that day. Still, business was brisk on a 95-degree afternoon. They're excited to do it, said Rob DeLong, whose house isn't far from the station on Illinois 10. They don't go into this kicking and screaming. They love it. And there's a photograph of a kid who was wearing a yellow sun visor and looks like swimming trunks that are the American flag, and he's holding like a big cardboard sign, I think, that says, donating to firemen and lemonade, selling his lemonade, that photo's provided. Questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email Jim Rosso, J-I-M, Rosso, at his email address, which is J-R-O-S-S-O-W, at newsgazette.com. Next up, history, area history. In 1925, a rebate on the Central District street lighting system in Champaign, amounting to 33% of the last seven installments of the original assessment, has been prepared and checks are being mailed as fast as possible to taxpayers. The original assessment amounted to approximately $150,000. In 1975, the McDonald's restaurant at 624 East Green Street in Champaign was robbed at gunpoint. McDonald's manager Stella Malice said a man had been hanging around for a half hour or so and approached the counter just before the restaurant closed. Malice said the man then pulled a pistol from under his shirt, aimed it at a cashier, and announced that unless he was given the money from the cash registers, he would shoot the cashier. Employees began to fill paper bags with money, she said, while waiting. Customers, aware robbery was taking place, asked to be served. In 2010, University of Illinois Mechanical engineering graduate student, Eli Lazar, is protesting the dismissal of adjunct professor Kenneth Howell, who taught in the U of I's Department of Religion, from teaching classes on Catholicism. Lazar said he is upset about Howell's dismissal and wants to raise awareness of the issue among students. Howell was told he will no longer teach courses on Catholicism after a student complained about a discussion of homosexuality in which Howell taught that the Catholic Church believes homosexual acts are morally wrong. The next headline reads, it's actually a photograph taken by Peggy Pritchard. The headline reads, "So every child has a pair of shoes." And it's actually three people standing next to a table where a lot of shoes are out on display. The caption reads, from left, Rotary District Governor John Calderon, Champaign Rotary past president Jan Barr, and current president Chris Randles stand beside some of the shoes donated Monday, part of a partnership between Rotary clubs around the globe and the Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls Drive. Souls, S-O-U-L-S, Drive. Shoes will be distributed to needy children worldwide. The next headline reads, around the area, Danville's Northeast Elementary Magnet School. Students, staff ready for balanced calendar schedule. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey and is based out of Danville. Jennifer can be reached by email at jbailey@newsgazette.com. After multi-year breaks and teachers wondering if they would ever return to a balanced calendar school or schedule, Northeast Elementary Magnet School will see teachers back on Tuesday and students on Wednesday. The students got out of school at the start of June, so their summer break is shorter. But the three-week fall and spring breaks make up for it on the balanced calendar school schedule. Principal Justin Thorlton, T-H-O-R-L-T-O-N, who has worked the balanced calendar schedule two of his 6 years at the school due to COVID-19 and construction of an addition to the school, welcomes going back to it. I think it's a great system. I know that from a student's point of view, you get a nice long break, but when you come back from the long break, routines and procedures are already there. Learning loss is much less, especially over the summer. You just happen to switch grades and teachers, but you still remember how the school works, he said. He said the three-week fall and spring breaks instead of 1 week for the other Danville District 118 schools are just long enough for a little reset for social, emotional reasons and academics. The school also doesn't have a lot of student turnover. This year's sixth graders were kindergartners the year Thornton started as Northeast principal. There's really a sense of community with the students, he said. When students started last year in August, construction was still being finished on the school addition. There's now a two-point entry system into the school to provide more security. There are new administration offices, a multi-purpose room, gym, two new second grade classrooms, a new music room, and new restrooms. Custodian Mike Robbins also said the addition has been great for the school, even if it means more spaces to clean. It's job security, he said, laughing as he swept the gymnasium floor Monday. About 350 kindergarten through sixth grade students and 14 classroom teachers, about 40 total staff with some not there every day, will be filling the classrooms and walking the hallways again starting this week. Average class sizes are 24 for kindergarten to third grade and 28 for the higher grades. The school is an application based health and wellness magnet school. For more than a decade, it's received the National Gold Award through the Alliance for a Healthier Generation in the school's promotion of healthy living. We meet their standards every year for one of America's healthiest schools, Thornton said. In downstate Illinois, Northeast is the only school meeting these food and exercise standards. The school also has a dress code for students, which includes no smartwatches this year and required volunteer hours for families. With our upcoming school year, kind of our tagline is everybody learns, everybody leads, Thurlton said, adding that they're looking to increase math and reading scores. A parent-teacher association, PTA, hosted scavenger hunt kicks off the school year for students tonight, and families have some upcoming pool nights at the Danville Aquatic Center at Garfield Park. And there's one photograph provided. It's of a young man standing in what looks like a cafeteria. There are tables, a large room, nice lighting. In the background, it's empty, of course, no students are there yet, but the caption reads, Northeast Elementary Magnet School Principal Justin Thurlton talks about the school's addition that was completed last year. That photograph is provided by Jennifer Bailey for the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Little Miss also a top rodeo competitor. This article is written by Dave Hinton, D-H-I-N-T-O-N, at newsgazette.com and is based out of Dewey, Illinois. 7-year-old Sloane Davis took a cue from her father, Ben. She saw how much he enjoyed team roping at rodeos. The rural Dewey resident, who is 7, is starting her 3rd year in junior rodeo competition. Sloane, S-L-O-A-N-E, was crowned Little Miss Champaign County Fair on Sunday from a field of 10 contestants and will reign alongside Fair Queen Sophia Hartke during the fair's 9 days starting this Friday. She will also compete in the barrel racing portion of the rodeo on Friday. Sloane said barrel racing is one of her favorite events. The hardest part about barrel racing, said Sloane, switching hands in the middle of the first and second barrel. She also does pole bending, goat tying, and is learning to rope. Sloane won her goat time, was named Indiana Junior Rodeo Champion, and will be awarded a belt buckle this fall, which she is excited about. She primarily rides a black and white paint pony named Blackjack, who was lent to her by a friend who outgrew it. Sloane credits Blackjack for some of her success. He is like, if I mess up, he kind of knows where to go. So it's hard for me to mess up. Sloane attends Middletown Prairie Elementary in Mahomet. Both father and daughter started rodeo competition when they were young. Ben started when he was in the 6th grade. Sloane got in the saddle much earlier at the age of 5. That doesn't hold a candle, though, to Sloane's younger brother, Beau, who started his rodeo competition at the age of 2. He is now 4. And there's a photograph of a young girl standing in front of a little pony. And the caption reads, Little Miss Champaign County Fair, Sloane Davis, 7, with the pony she rides in the rodeo. Again, his name is Blackjack, and that photo is provided. Congratulations to her. And lastly, quick weather forecast for the next week. It's going to be hot. Today, 88, partly sunny, chances of showers and thunderstorms. Wednesday, the high will be 91, the low will be 71. Partly sunny early, then sunny with a 40% chance of afternoon rain. Thursday, the high will be 89, the low is 73, mostly sunny, showers and thunderstorms, a 70% chance likely in the afternoon. Friday, the high will be 84, the low is 67, partly sunny. And Saturday, the high will be 89, the low will be 69, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. Thank you for listening. It's always a pleasure to read with you. I'll be back to read part two with you shortly. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.